Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Former Cub, three-time All-Star from MLB Network. It's our guy, Dan Plesac.
There's a lot of people that have helped Dan Plesac get to where he's at. And Tim Norbrook is one of those guys.
Anyone who makes Dan Plesac go Dan Plesac in the third person is a friend of this show as well, Sack.
It's weird. They create this, like, entity outside of themselves, like somebody that they're talking about, like kind of some weird Sybil third personality, you know. Athletes are the worst.
That was incredible. A lot of people have helped Dan Plesac get to this moment. Very thankful.
It's the Kung Pao. George likes his chicken spicy.
Dan, thank you so much, man, and stay safe. Thank you for the time, your generous stories. We appreciate you.
And next time we'll get into some Ricky Henderson stories. How about that?
Mac, there's just something special about when a guest goes third person, isn't there?
Oh, every time. And right at the end, too. Yes. Period.
It was the perfect dismount.
There's a lot of people that have helped Dan Plesac get to where he's at.
And I wanted to do what was best, you know, for LeBron James and what LeBron James is going to do to make him happy.
Ricky Henderson's on that list, by the way, like with Bo Jackson, of guys that's just like, hey, stories about them you cannot get enough of.
Ricky Henderson, if you've ever seen Ricky Henderson interviewed, it's the best. It's sweet. It's sweet, glorious music. It's like he's communicating secretly to like an intergalactic leader from another space federation. You know, he's every time he says Ricky Henderson, he's giving coordinates, you know, to the planet or whatever. Hey, Ricky, I noticed you taped your bat up a little higher than normal. What's that about? Well, you know, Ricky Henderson has to do what's best for Ricky Henderson, you know. I mean, if Ricky Henderson feels that Ricky Henderson needs to tape his bat up higher to be the best Ricky Henderson that Ricky Henderson could be, then Ricky Henderson is going to tape his bat higher.
There's a lot of people that have helped Dan Plesac get to where he's at.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Well, I only speak for Danny Parkins, but Danny Parkins thinks we're going to have a great quarantine day 7, Dan McNeil.
Oh, man, yes. And I want to thank Mitch Rosen for helping me to be the best Dan McNeil I can be. Every time we've had the opportunity to work together, so many people help make Dan McNeil who Dan McNeil is in 2020. And even you, to some degree, Danny Parkins, have helped in the Dan McNeil evolution. So thank you very kindly for your contributions along the way. How you feeling this afternoon, Radio Son?
I feel fine, Radio Dad. You know, another day in paradise broadcasting from home. But we actually have a little bit of sports news today, dare I say. Like a morsel, two pieces of news. One, the Bulls ESPN documentary is getting moved up. It was supposed to air during the NBA Finals. It's getting moved up to the third Sunday in April. And the NFL playoffs are expanding from 6 teams to 7 teams per conference. Not a surprise there, but it's official just before we came on the air. Legitimate, actual sports news. I like it.
Yeah, two more playoff games in the NFL. I did not oppose this when we heard speculation of it when it was first made public that was on the table a few months ago. I understand why there are those who say, you're just rewarding mediocrity. You know, 8-8 gets you in. Now 9-7 gets you in. That's okay. Hey, that would have provided the Bears with two more playoff opportunities since their their foray into the NFC title game against the Packers a few years, the last year of Lovie Smith. That would have produced a playoff season. That's not great, but it's just a couple more games. The owners need to just, you know, they want the revenue from it, so everybody knew this thing was coming. I don't have a problem with it, and as far as the Bulls documentary goes, I think the timing on this is very, very good as people continue to thirst for diversions from the coronavirus crisis that just is not going away. It's getting worse, and we'll have the governor and his people on, as we always do, at 2:30-ish today right here on The Score, because that's the right way to do it. But I know you're going to be particularly charged up about that, because those were your guys. That was Big Game Tom's son coming down to the city in the what did he drive, a big Audi SUV? That's my suspicion.
At his peak, he was a BMW 740IL guy, so the big tank sedan.
Seven series, going sledding in the seven series. Yeah, you should be. Those things glide. Big fan of the 7 Series in the BMW. Not so crazy about their SUV line, but young Danny in the 7 Series heading down to the UC to watch the Bulls and the Utah Jazz. I heard Bernstein waxing poetic on his time on the beat today, and it actually got me fired up for this series, because those were good times. When the Bulls mattered, they were damn fun to be around. And fortunately for those of us at The Score and Score listeners, the station, even when it probably didn't have the resources to do so in 1992, just our second year on the air, sent the afternoon show on the road with the Bulls in Portland, did it again in Phoenix in 93, Seattle 96, the Jiggets and North show, and then everybody was out there. That was a party in Salt Lake City. And, you know, as we get closer to that day, we can get Les Grobstein on to talk about the time Bernstein and I, in a drunken state, assumed control of Les's radio show in the middle of the night in a Salt Lake City hotel room where we had a conference room. We had the adjoining rooms where we set up shop for the week. We pretty much did that every NBA finals. It was really a lot of fun. And we took over Les's show one night, taped him up, and didn't chop off an ear and play Steeler's Wheel along the way, but we took over, and somehow we didn't get penalized or fired over it. That's the sort of thing that can get a lad in trouble.
I was there.
It's unfortunate that the tapes of that broadcast no longer exist, because I'm guessing if we aired them today, there might be a suspension or some sort of problems along the way. Even if we could just listen to them off air, I would love to hear the rules that you and Bernsey were breaking after being overserved on the overnight audience. But what I was thinking when they did this, like, a couple things. Like, yes, I am very excited because it'll be like reliving my childhood as an adult, right? As often as I would go back and, you know, you'd read books about that era, or you'd have the DVDs of that era, I saw it through a child's eyes. Like, I kind of think that like 10 to 12 years old is formative sports years for a lot of people. Like, I'm not really interested in girls yet, and I'm just the dork who's collecting basketball cards. Not that I wasn't a dork growing up when I got older than that, but like, you remember the stats. You can stay up late and watch the games. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to the games. So being able to relive those now with, I think, the best thing that ESPN is doing in 2020 through the lens of 30 for 30 and the ESPN films. Like, the last time they did something this ambitious, it was O.J. Simpson Made in America, and it won a damn Oscar. Like, they have pulled out all of the stops. If you saw the teaser trailer, one of them, it was just 60 seconds of different people sitting down in the chair or couch that they were being interviewed in for the documentary. And it was like Carmen Electra, Justin Timberlake, Bob Costas, Barack Obama, and then obviously Michael Jordan signed off on and is one of the partners in the documentary. So he got his full participation. And it was a part of an era where there was like media was exploding, not in the same way where everyone had cell phone cameras, but like there were documentary efforts and behind the scenes footage that was available that has never before seen the light of day. So I just think it's going to be an incredible reliving of an era that got documented a lot, but we're going to be able to put like the 21st century microscope on a team that just came up before social media exploded and had some degree of anonymity. So I'm really excited to look at it 22 years later.
Yeah, I imagine you are, and how fortunate you and those your age were to have that as your childhood experience. I suppose that's better than having to wait until you were 24, which is what I was when the Bears won the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And that was the first title that I remembered in my lifetime. The Bears won one when I was two. But, yeah, you did not suffer the tortures of the damned. You're too young to remember the 89 Cubs. So you jump right into the fray with that second Bulls three-peat. And what a time at the tail end for Jordan. And I'm eager to see how they paint in this project the relationship between Phil Jackson and Bulls management, which I heard Bernsie talking about today. From my standpoint, I thought that, and again, Dan had the benefit of having the same agent as Phil Jackson, so he was way more plugged in than I was. From an outsider's or from a neutral perspective where I was sitting, I thought it was as much on Phil as it was on the Bulls to make that thing an annual drama, to not get him signed to a long-term contract. But he was way more plugged in than I was on it. But it is going to be fun. Without a present, we go to the past. And what a glorious past it was, Mr. Parkins.
And a win for social media, because initially there was no talk of moving this up. Now, I know that information has changed with the COVID-19 pandemic as we've learned more and more, and maybe they were kind of optimistic that we would have returned to some semblance of normalcy, because originally ESPN wanted to air this around the most viewed NBA playoff games and use the NBA Finals as a vehicle for promotion as they air those NBA Finals games on ABC to promote this. But LeBron James was calling for it on social media. You know, like everybody's like, oh my God, you have this. It's done. Move it up. And, you know, they got a bunch of partners in it, right? ESPN has to sign off. Jordan has to sign off. They got to find the broadcast windows. Netflix is the partner for the international rights. They have to sign off. So it's cool that an idea that started on Twitter reached the highest levels of the Disney Corporation and they got the ball rolling and they're like, you know what? That's actually a good idea from the internet, and they're going to bring this thing forward. So I think it's going to be great, and if we're going to do nostalgia, I'd rather do it like this, like a well-produced 30-for-30 clean documentary than just every network throwing on random games from the past and like doing it piecemeal. Like this is going to feel fresh, obviously.
I totally get that, but I allowed myself to go back in time today on Marquee, because Marquee was airing today games 6 and 7 of the 2016 World Series. And I'm with you. I would rather have somebody trim all the fat. I don't need pitching changes, and I don't need walks and things like that, but capturing some of the nuance. And I just had it on as background noise, seeing the North Suburbanite Jason Kipnis try to belt a solo home run. He scored their first run of the game after the Cubs got out to a 7-0 lead. Danny Addison Russell, the big grand slam in game 6. I have to admit, hearing Joe Buck and John Smoltz doing the World Series, it felt comforting for just a little while. I didn't dig into the game every pitch, and I probably only had it on for about 3 or 4 innings. And yeah, I'd rather have the Cliff's Notes version too, but it was fun, and I'm glad they took off the Cubs convention for a day. As I mentioned a time or two, we were pretty full on the 2020 Cubs convention. See, you don't have Marquee yet, and I've not heard anything.
Believe me, you won't be booing about that in a year.
I would guess there's no news on Marquee and the biggest supplier in Chicago at this point, and that's probably
there certainly
not something
doesn't
many
seem
are
to
thinking about.
Yeah, there certainly doesn't seem to be any urgency anymore, understandably so, for it with no games on the horizon. So no new news there for Marquee and Comcast. But also, we're going to be airing the 2016 playoff run in its entirety starting tomorrow night when we get off the air. But again, what I think what's cool is, because again, sports from yesteryear, it's for some people, it's not for others, but I like what we're doing with it. We're putting a twist on it. Joe Ostrowski will be hosting with Pat Hughes and Ron Santo, and they're going to be doing
Ron Coomer,
commentary.
If we can get Santo, we'd move it up to afternoon drive. Ron,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Oh, take that Perkin over the air listenership since we don't get credit for that.
Brad Brown drops the ball. He drops the ball.
Wow, we certainly buried the lead. We're 20 minutes into this puppy. Actually, about 15.
Mitch Rosen, he's the best program director in the country for nothing, wow. Folks. He was able to get
the body of Ron Santo, and he's going to come back and do World Series analysis. Take your phone calls. Yeah, that's fun. That starts tomorrow night. Game one against the Giants. Low-scoring affair, if I remember right. Was that a 1-0 Cubs win?
Javi Baez, I think, with the lone run of the game, solo shot.
Oh, man.
Danny,
he's going to be good.
He was wearing those Air Jordan 1 custom Cubs cleats. Really nice.
Nice. I kind of want to get the Jordan golf shoes that they're starting to tout more and more, but I just bought golf shoes last year. I don't know if I can.
Oh, treat yourself. during
these trying times. Just order them online. Don't go anywhere to buy shoes. Hey, Danny, we're going to try to get you squared away during the timeout on your unit. I hate to say this to another man, but your unit is a little bit funky, so we're going to try to get you on our state-of-the-art here in just a little bit so you sound as sparkling crystal clear as you did yesterday. And hey, for the 2.5 hours when you were live on Friday.
I don't think this is on my end. I could be wrong.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't think. If it is, I will do everything I can to fix it. I'm just following orders right now, but I don't think this time it's on my end. But yeah,
nope.
I will try to get it taken care of as soon as possible. And we can do that during this commercial break. And I got some data on people are wondering what it would mean for the expansion of the playoffs from 6 to 7 teams. And the numbers actually are not what I would have expected. So we'll give you that coming up before the governor's daily press conference on the COVID-19 crisis and its relationship to Illinois and Chicago. That's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
next on The Score. McNeil and Park is on The Score. Can you guys hear me? I'm just going to do this this way. I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, your first word was McNeil, and I was thinking that was somebody back at the shop saying, McNeil, go. His Comrex is down. Lucy's standing by. I could cover you. If you want a minute, are you good? Sounds fine now.
I'm here. I'm with you. I'm, you know, doing my absolute best, despite popular opinion. I am doing my absolute best to be on the air. It's all good. You got all right. You ready for this, Matt? Because I would have guessed when I heard that they were expanding the playoffs, my assumption was that there would have been rewarding more mediocrity. And I still do not think that it's a good idea to expand the NFL playoffs. I think the NFL playoffs are perfect, and they're doing this for money because they got an extra game on CBS and NBC. But since they went from 10 teams to 12, and now they're obviously going to 14. 44 of the 60 teams that would have been the 7 seed in the era of 12 teams making the playoffs would have had a winning record. And 10 of those teams would have been 10-win teams, and only once since they expanded to 12 teams, a team with a losing record would have made the playoffs. So for anyone who's saying this is going to be rewarding bad teams making the playoffs, history tells us that that's actually not the case.
Yeah, might not be your best teams, but certainly more representative of good teams than you probably thought. So that represents the argument well. Not that they need our support, because they're going ahead and stepping on the gas on this baby anyway. As I think people will get used to very, very quickly. I think whatever complaints come of it will be loud, and they will fade like a fart in the wind, Warden Norton, because people like pro football, and they're going to get an extra game opening weekend. They're going to love it.
Yeah, so there's going to be a triple header on Saturday and then a triple header on Sunday for now. Like I said, NBC and CBS get the extra games. The game that CBS gets, there's actually going to be another broadcast that is produced by Nickelodeon to try to get younger fans into the NFL. I have no idea what the NFL on Nickelodeon might look like. But
SpongeBob SquarePants doing pregame?
Yeah. Is there going to be, like, the ooze? Like, I have no idea what they're going to be doing there, but I kind of like it, trying new things for broadcast. I'm all for that. But my criticism was not about not wanting more football. You know me, I'll watch any football game anywhere, anytime.
Right.
It's now with only one team getting a bye in each conference, I feel like the gap between, like, if you're the two seed in each conference, the only difference that you have between the 7 seed in each conference is you get a home game. Like, yeah, you play an easier team, but it strikes me as, you know, a lot of years there's 12 and 13 win teams, and then a lot of like one or two of those teams up in that tier, yeah. And then there's a lot of teams in that 8, 9, 10 win range. And it just feels like the two seed should get more of a reward than just getting a home game in the first round of the playoffs.
That's a valid criticism. There is some inequity there, no question. And oftentimes you see two seeds that are 13-3 and absolutely a team that should deserve to get a week off, but this is the way it goes. This is what the NFL has decided to do. And you want the week off, you got to win your conference. You have to be the absolute best in your conference. That's bestowed upon two teams in the league, 1 out of 16 in each conference each year. You don't get it, you get to host the home game. And no week off for you, which I don't know. Sometimes I think that week off is more of a pain in the neck than it is beneficial.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, there's data on both sides of it, right? We've seen teams lose and come out rusty, and then we've seen teams really benefit from the health. It's just, I like rewarding, you know, this past year is a fine example, right? The Ravens, the 1 seed, the Chiefs, the 2 seed. And I would, now the Chiefs-Titans was great. I would have rather seen Chiefs-Ravens. I would have rather seen that 1-2 AFC heavyweight matchup, and I feel like you lessen the chances of seeing the two best teams play in the conference championship game if only one of those teams gets a bye.
Occurred to me a little while ago, from a selfish standpoint, this really enriches the pool for our fantasy football league. You get four more teams to choose from in that first round in wild card weekend, so you're going to have a lot more talent spread around, and you're not taking running backs. So you think, really, I got this guy in fantasy football? Because that's the way you do fantasy football if you're doing it right. You have a regular season winner, and then you play playoffs in the playoffs, and it's an absolute blast to do it that way, and only the upper half in your league get in. And I love the idea of four more rosters of talent from which to pluck for the Dire Makers in 2021, if there's a season.
So you're going to make the playoffs this upcoming year, you've decided?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. Well, as the defending champ,
I support. I was a playoff team this year. I just didn't make it all the way.
Only one of us made it all the way.
Yeah, you remember, I came out of the gate really, really strong and then didn't get a lineup in when I was up at Cottage because I didn't have internet. You remember?
Yeah, you didn't realize that you could get on the internet on your phone over data.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. I didn't realize that. I know. Grandpa lost the pole position as a result of his technology issues. Hey, we're going to have Dave Wanstead and Tony Wise on at the top of the 3 o'clock hour today. Batman and Robin. Dave calls us that. They really are the original Batman and Robin.
But here is Governor Pritzker for the daily coronavirus update from BBM.
AFL-CIO, and we are joined once again by Dr. Allison Arwoody, the director of the Chicago Department of Public Health. To the thousands of people across the state who have been joining us every day via live stream, welcome back. And to anyone joining for the first time, thank you for your desire to get factual information on what's happening here in Illinois. To our reporters, thank you for your commitment to truth and accuracy. Folks, I know that this journey is an extraordinarily difficult one, personally, financially, emotionally. I know that when I signed our disaster proclamation on March 9th, when restaurants and bars closed on March 16th, when schools suspended on-site learning on March 17th, when the stay-at-home order took effect on March 21st. Well, each step we have been forced to take by this pandemic has made things more challenging for our residents. The cascading consequences of these steps weigh on me every minute of every day. But as I've said since the beginning, my priority through each and every one of these decisions has been and continues to be saving as many people's lives as possible. That's the one goal that I will put above all others every time. Most critically, I have let the science guide our decisions. I've relied upon the top medical experts, scientists, public health researchers, epidemiologists, mathematicians, and modelers from the greatest institutions in the world, like the University of Illinois, Northwestern University, University of Chicago, SIU, and others whose guidance on infection rates and potential mortalities and protective measures is frankly second to none. It is based upon that advice that tomorrow I will be signing an executive order to extend Illinois' disaster proclamation, our stay-at-home order, and our suspension of on-site learning at schools through the end of the month of April. If we can end these orders earlier, I'll be the first one to tell you when we can start to make strides toward normalcy again. But that time is not today, and it's not April 7th. Illinois has one of the strongest public health systems in the nation, but even so, we aren't immune to this virus's ability to push our existing capacity beyond its limits. We need to maintain our course and keep working to flatten the curve. Here's what we know. As of March 30th, our preliminary reports from hospitals statewide show just 41% of our adult ICU beds are empty, staffed and ready for immediate patient use, a 2 percentage point decrease from the moment in time numbers that I ran you through last week. And 68% of our ventilators are available statewide, a 4% point drop in a week. That doesn't mean that every hospital has that availability, but collectively, that's what we have across the state. Statewide, about 35% of our total ICU beds are now occupied by COVID patients, and about 24% of our total ventilators are occupied by COVID patients. We're still within our capacity, and we're working every day to acquire new ventilators or convert alternate use ventilators to increase that capacity. But from all the modeling that we've seen, our greatest risk of hitting capacity isn't right now, but weeks from now. The virus's spread is growing. So are its risks. We must not let up now. I'll remind everyone that these interventions don't work if they're piecemeal across the state. It was only a few weeks back when we had just a handful of cases, all in one county. That's up to 5,994 across 54 counties. And we know that there are even more people out there who have contracted COVID-19 and already recovered without realizing it, or recovered at home and never qualified for a test. That's true in all 50 states, and that's the price that we will continue to pay for the lack of early, robust national testing. So we have to stick to the knowledge that we have. No community is immune. To that point, I want to discuss our efforts to keep our Department of Corrections facilities as safe and socially distanced as possible to minimize the spread of COVID-19 within those facilities. Fortunately, DOC is at its smallest population since 1995, and it currently has 36,944 individuals. That's 1,069 fewer prisoners than on February 1 of this year. On March 14th, early in the process of my issuing executive orders addressing COVID-19, to reduce the spread of the virus, DOC suspended all visits, moved all facilities to administrative quarantine, and ensured access to hand sanitizer and cleaning supplies to all staff and incarcerated individuals. IEMA and IDPH have made multiple deliveries of personal protective equipment to the Department of Corrections, totaling over 160,000 N95 masks, over 200,000 surgical masks, and tens of thousands of gloves, and DOC is sending an additional shipment to Stateville today. DOC has been reviewing the case files of as many low-risk offenders as possible for early release during this crisis, with nearly 300 more released as of 1 p.m. today. This has included some of our female inmates who are pregnant or were in our women and babies program, as well as low-level offenders at the end of their sentences. All have been thoroughly vetted to make sure that there are no histories of violence, and particularly domestic violence, and all had homes to return to. I should note that places to reside for exiting offenders are one of our greatest challenges. We need to ensure that each person released in this manner has a place to return to, and those arrangements are more difficult for exiting offenders during these challenging times. We're working hard to balance the need to free up as much space in our prisons as possible with making sure that we're not releasing those who may pose a risk to their communities. Every step we take with regard to our prison population needs to solve an existing problem, not create a new one. I signed an executive order to suspend the daily flow of convicted transfers from county jails into IDOC facilities, and my office is working with the Department of Corrections to review the histories of all of our inmates to prioritize the release of older and more vulnerable residents while ensuring the public safety. Under the order, the director still has discretion to accept transfers from county jails when necessary, and he will exercise that discretion. Tragically, we have lost one patient to COVID-19 at Stateville Prison. the maximum security prison that's closest to the Chicago area, with 32 total positive cases among those in custody and more results pending. We have 18 staff members who have tested positive who are employed at various Department of Corrections facilities. The DOC is working diligently to prevent further spread by requiring all staff on duty to wear personal protective equipment and by opening parts of the facility that were closed to allow for further social distancing. We're using every mechanism available to us to prevent and contain the virus's spread in our Department of Corrections facilities, including standing up temporary facilities for an on-site medical mission with our National Guard. But I want to be clear, despite these measures and any and every one of our DOC residents who falls seriously ill with COVID-19 will receive available medical assistance to get through it, including an ICU bed and a ventilator if necessary. An incarcerated person is a person, and my administration will not be in the business of claiming one life is worth more than another. I want to say to the local hospitals that are near the prison facilities, we will do all that we can to ensure that any patients receive the best care that we can provide, and we will work with local departments of public health to get you all the equipment and support that we can. But hospitals that refuse to take on residents of the Department of Corrections will be called out by name. And those that refuse to operate in accordance to their oath can and will be compelled to do so by law. We are asking everyone during this extraordinarily difficult time to do their part to keep residents, all residents of Illinois, safe. We inherited a prison system that has suffered from overcrowding after decades of tough-on-crime policies focusing on punishment without attention to rehabilitation. Democrats and Republicans agree on this and have worked together over the last number of years to make real changes. And while we have prioritized support services for the men and women in our care, we're still operating in facilities that were not built to support these kinds of efforts. When we get through this immediate crisis, we all need to have a real conversation about criminal justice reform and the status and conditions of our state prisons. But I'll be frank with you, we still don't know exactly when this immediate crisis will pass. And I know this continues to be an extraordinarily difficult time for families across our state, especially for our workers. I have directed my governor's office staff and agency directors to do everything and anything in our power to help our residents who are hurting. We've directed tens of millions of dollars to support our small businesses in impacted industries and offered sales tax payment delays wherever we can. We've expanded support for individuals through the ban of residential evictions, a delayed income tax filing deadline, increased unemployment eligibility, and worked to expand our Medicaid and SNAP programs. There are countless unseen people in state government who are working behind the scenes day and night, 7 days a week, to find every possible mechanism to support our working families. And I promise you, we will not stop until this virus passes. Lastly, I want to talk about what this extension means for our students. Well, first and foremost, I want to recognize the creativity of our Illinois State Board of Education and the superintendents and the school districts all across our state for their remarkably able and agile efforts that they've demonstrated, providing learning opportunities, meals, connection and stability throughout this crisis. Under this extended order, schools will transition from Act of God days to remote learning days. All of these days count toward the school year, and absolutely no days need to be made up. Each district is working with ISBE to create and implement a remote learning plan to ensure that all students, including students with disabilities and English language learners, receive instructional materials and can communicate with their teachers. Remote learning will look different for every district and maybe even for every school. School districts will create plans based upon their local resources and their needs. ISBE recommends any grades that schools give during this time be used as feedback and not as an instrument for compliance. Students are going through a situation over which they have no control. Our first response must be empathy. I want to end with a message for our students who I know never envisioned a pandemic derailing their spring semester. Believe me, as a parent of two teenagers, you're not the only one. I won't try and tell you that texting and calling each other is the same as hanging out in the hallways or in the lunchroom. And I won't try and tell you that a Zoom prom is the same as a real prom. I won't try and tell you not to be sad about the lost goals and plans that you may have had for March and April. It's okay to be sad. And if you do feel sad or frustrated or angry, whatever you feel, please let yourself feel that way. Don't beat yourself up over being human. And if you're experiencing overwhelming anxiety or you have a friend who is and you need someone to talk to, there are resources available to you by phone and online through both ISBE and our Department of Human Services, as well as the City of Chicago. But I also want to say something else. Once you're ready, take a look around. Take in the incredibly unique moment that you're living in. Yes, it's scary, and it's uncertain, and it's difficult. But if you're looking for a lesson in the fundamental goodness of people and of your community, it's right there in front of you. Take a look at the districts across the state that have taken it upon themselves to support our healthcare workers, like Tinley Park High School's science department delivering goggles to Advocate Health's Christ Medical Center, or Decatur Public Schools donating over 200 iPads to promote contactless communication at area hospitals. Maybe those are your teachers and administrators, or maybe your school is one of the many that have made donations. Even if it's not, I bet people in your school are finding a way to help. Be one of those people. Or look at Michael Arundel, an Orland Park native, home from college while classes are out at the University of Alabama, where he's studying to go to medical school someday. He came home and he saw a need where his elderly relatives and neighbors were afraid to go to the grocery store. So he filled that need by creating Leave It to Us, his free service to go grocery shopping for senior citizens. Orders took off, and his network of mostly college-aged volunteers is now launching service in five other states nationwide. Michael, thank you for your movement, the movement that you have started. All of Illinois is proud of you. And I want to encourage our elderly Chicagoland residents, as well as healthy young people across the state looking to join Michael and start a local branch of their own, to visit his website. It's at COVIDSeniorShoppers.com. COVIDSeniorShoppers.com. And most of all, look at the people who make up our healthcare workforce, our doctors, our physician's assistants, our nurses, our nurse practitioners, yes, but also our hospital social workers, EMTs, pharmacists, our ER technicians, registration staffers, sanitation services, and the food service workers who keep patients fed. Maybe you call one of those people a parent, a sibling, a cousin, a friend. Maybe someday that'll be you. I can tell you that they didn't join this profession looking to fight a pandemic. They wanted to help people, to live a life of service. And they're doing that still, even though they share the fear and uncertainty that we all do. No, it's not the school year you bargained for, and I'm terribly sorry for that. But amidst these dire circumstances, I want you to know that there are plenty of people to learn from. There's plenty of reason to hope. And if all else fails, I've heard that Where's Lightfoot meme page is a good place to go for a laugh. So thank you. And I want to turn it over to the star of Where's Lightfoot, the City of Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
JB Pritzker. We will update you on any particular information from Mayor Lightfoot as is needed, but we're up against one here. Obviously, the biggest piece of news that the mandatory stay-at-home order for non-essential businesses has been extended through the end of April. So we have at least one more month of this. Governor Pritzker saying if we can come out earlier, he will be the first to let us know, thanking people for their cooperation and trying to deal with the stresses of these uncertain times. Again, we will pass along any updated information as necessary for the public health as soon as we get it. Thank you to WBBM for the audio. For score stories, we're trying something a little different. Not only our guy Dave Wanstead, but you know he loves Tony Wise. They're coming on together next on The Score.
I'm standing behind Andy Hecht. He doesn't see me. And I whisper in his ear as he's doing the drills, I'm here to evaluate your warm-ups by Tony Wise. And he can't. I swear to God I did.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.